Good morning again. A lot of good mornings today. It is a good morning. Hudson Taylor was born in 1832. He was a successful pharmacist. And I don't know if any of you know the life of someone who lived in 1832, but if you were successful, it was probably rare. It was a difficult time. This man was successful. He had a thriving pharmaceutical little establishment. But one day in his mid to late 20s, he thought to himself, I am not doing what I need to do. There's got to be something more. So he felt the urge, the call, could have been the Spirit, I think it was, to be a missionary. He left everything and went to China. China was a very mysterious country in the 1800s, and if you were white, you stood out. They called him the Black Devil for a long time because he wore a long black coat as he traveled from province to province. He wasn't making that big of a connection because people were a little afraid of him. But he ended up making 18 trips to China. He grew to love that country so much that he changed the way he dressed. He even shaved his head like the Chinese men shaved it, and began to wear their clothes, and found his way into their culture. Years and years later, he is considered to be one of the most successful missionaries to China. Thousands and thousands of people were affected by his teaching, all because one day he decided to follow God with everything he had. Could he have followed God as a pharmacist? Of course he could have. He could have changed lives right where he was, but for some reason, God wanted him to do something a little different. And he was willing to follow and to be a disciple of God. Let's pray today. Our Father, we love you, and we are so thankful that you have brought us here today. Lord, it's so exciting to see people in our congregation. Lord, new faces, old faces, people we have known for years, brand new people we have yet to meet. Lord, we are here together not for coincidence's sake, but because you have a word to speak to us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to listen. Lord, be with our congregation, our church family, as we seek what it means to live out our faith each and every day. Speak through us today, and I pray that your Spirit moves. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's our second annual Faith and Family Summit. Thank you. If you don't know what this is kind of a conference-style series. So for the next 4 weeks, you're going to have classes available every Sunday morning, and they're going to be three different options. They're going to rotate a little bit, so if you miss one, you might be able to catch it the next week. We're also going to be recording these, so they'll be available on podcasts. So you might miss one or two throughout the coming weeks, but you'll still be able to listen to it. I love the content. Our focus is going to be on discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? I'm excited because this is not a new conversation. This is a conversation that's been going on for centuries. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, if you want to make a comment on Facebook or Twitter, use this hashtag, #disciplemaker. And if you want to go and search it, we'll see what the conversation is like after today. One thing I feel incredibly blessed by is that I get to be in a church family with people who love to study God's Word. I see disciples here. I see it. I'm blessed to be able to follow in the footsteps of some incredibly godly preachers. And to think that I have the opportunity to help share my faith with you on a Sunday basis is humbling to me. I feel very honored, and now I get to help the conversation continue. We have had this conversation for decades, it seems. This is 137 years old, this church, and we have talked about what it means to follow Christ ever since we began, and we get to continue that conversation today. So in 2016, this is our focus. It's not only our focus in January. We're going to be talking about discipleship in January, but the entire year, that will be our theme. In some way, shape, or form, in our sermons and in our classes, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, Sunday mornings, we're going to be talking about, in some way, discipleship. So get ready for that. It's very exciting. So disciple, that word disciple, we hear that word a lot in Scripture. Basically, it means a learner or a student or a pupil. But it's not simply someone who sits in a desk and listens. There is a much more active connotation to this word disciple. The word is mathetes. Now, this is people who were devoted to learning. They were completely consumed with studying and learning and growing in a particular direction, following. So if you look at the Jewish culture and during the time of Jesus, a Jewish man had a couple of ways he could go. Everybody went to school to a certain age, and they all memorized certain things. Girls even went till I think they were 10 or 11, and then they went and did the things with their mothers, the things that women were expected to do. And the men would go, boys would go to school till they were at least 12, and then after that, it depended on if they were smart enough or intelligent enough on how far they advanced. So you could either continue, or you could just go and work with your dad and do what he did. If you were smart enough like Jesus, you kept on graduating and going forward. And you wouldn't just memorize the Psalms and Proverbs. You would start memorizing the prophets. You would memorize the entire, we'll say, Old Testament. So a lot of the men that you saw who were Pharisees, teachers of the law, they had the entire Old Testament memorized. And when I struggle with just memorizing two scriptures, these men were disciples of the Torah, of God, of Moses, the law of Moses. They knew it. So at some point, if you were intelligent enough, you would seek out a rabbi and you would want to study under them. Now, Paul studied under a very impressive rabbi. His name was Gamaliel. In Acts 22:3, it says, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors." So they would go to a rabbi. They say, "Rabbi, I want to be your disciple." And then the rabbi would say, "Okay, well, let's see if you have what it takes." He would quote a scripture, and then he'd quote another scripture, and then he'd say, "Okay, what's in between there?" This is before they had everything numbered out, by the way. And then if he was able to answer all of his questions appropriately, adequately, then he would say, "Okay, you can be my disciple." So the disciple would move in with the rabbi, typically. He would learn to walk with him, walk like him. He'd learn to talk like him. He would watch him how he ate. He would use the same mannerisms. One of the phrases is walking in the dust of the rabbi. If you have the dust of the rabbi on your feet, that was a symbol of honor. You walked behind him, you saw, you watched, you paid attention, and this rabbi would shape your life and the way you saw things. So if you want to know what Gamaliel was like, then look at Paul. Because Paul was probably attributed, a lot of things he did probably attributed to Gamaliel. Because he was watching him and learning under him. So the Pharisees, they were disciples of Moses. And they say that in John. He says, he's talking to a man who was healed. His hand was healed by Jesus, and he says, "You're one of Jesus' disciples, but we are disciples of Moses." So these men would learn under a rabbi, they would study under the rabbi, and they were continual students or disciples. So for those students who didn't fare well, who were C and D students, they typically would flunk out, and they would go to work with their father. It's either a carpenter or a shepherd or a fisherman. So one day, Jesus, after he's baptized and does his time in the desert, he starts asking people to follow him. Now, Jesus was a rabbi. John the Baptist was a rabbi. It wasn't really an official distinction like it is today. Like you have a church, you have a synagogue, and you're a rabbi, you're head of a group of people. It was a symbol of status, of learning, of knowledge. And Jesus was a rabbi, a very young rabbi at that. And he would go up to people and he would ask them to follow him. And I always wondered, why did Peter suddenly just get up and go? Don't you think his dad would have said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, we got fish to catch"? But I'm thinking, okay, what if Harvard called your son or daughter and said, "We want you to come to law school here. We'll take care of it. We just want you to really study, and we're going to help you out. Just come." What do you think that phone call would be like? Dad, I just got a phone call from Harvard. They want me to come and study with them, and it's all taken care of. I just need to be there at every class and study and live there and do my... Do you think the father would say, hang on a second, we got things to do here? Wouldn't you say, oh, you know what a Harvard Law degree brings? Go, 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 get out of here. Don't even stop. You just run over there. Take your brothers with you. I mean, that's something, right? Jesus is asking people to follow him. But they didn't just sit in a seat and listen and go back and forth to home. I mean, these men were completely devoted in following because it wasn't easy. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 9. He talks about his way. He says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. These men were disciples. Were they perfect? No. Were they smart? Not really. But they followed. They were all in. They weren't casual learners. Discipleship is about following Jesus Christ. It's about considering God worth dying for. It's about putting our own desires, our own wants, our status, our identity second to our identity as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So the question I have, are you a disciple? Is our identity with Jesus first? Discipleship is difficult because it is hard and daily work. You have to choose each and every day. Am I going to follow today or not? It is a consistent choice to put ourselves second to everyone else. To pick up the cross, the thing in your life that is difficult to bear. The thing in your life when you think, I cannot hold this anymore. The thing you struggle the most with. Can you pick that up and follow Jesus, or is it going to keep you from following Jesus? Sometimes we need continuing encouragement. I would say always we need continuing encouragement. I'm a Houston Texan fan, I'll admit it. I grew up a Cowboy fan, and I'm still a Cowboy fan, but, you know, not after this year. Come on, guys. So the Texans lost horribly yesterday. J.J. Watt, one of my wife's favorite players and mine, says this on Facebook, I'm sorry. Better luck next year. This is what I love. Almost immediately, he had 22,000 comments, and one of them was from Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was eating dinner. He saw his text, and he made a video, and he says, you're not a loser. Losers stay down, but you are not a loser. Losers stay, but you are a winner, so be a winner. I'm listening. I'm like, yeah, I'm a Texan next year. And I thought, this guy knows how to encourage. He knows how to inspire. I love that. And J.J. Watt, you know, I mean, he makes millions of dollars, but he's, you know. How many of us need that? When the moment comes when we just have to say, man, I'm sorry, I messed up, I failed. How many of us need someone to say, well, you better get right? Or do we need someone to say, you can do this? I'm a follower just like you. Let me help you carry your cross. Because you've helped me carry mine. You have a handout in your bulletin this morning, and it shows all of these classes that are coming up for the next several weeks. I encourage you to be here. Join these classes because this is the beginning of something good in this church family. We also need encouragement to follow Jesus as a congregation. So I'm excited. I love our elders. I love these men. They love you. They pray for you. And they have some wonderful ideas about what they would like to have happen this next year. So I'm going to bring Skip up, and I'm going to have him talk about their vision for this next year. It's exciting. So I'm just going to sit back here. Is that okay?
Sounds like I am. Great. We could stop right there, Scott. What a great lesson. But we just wanted to talk a little bit about opportunity. And if you could put the opportunity, there we go, up there. Obviously, we have an opportunity this morning to worship. But I want to talk about a greater opportunity. And if you look at the Gospels, it tells us our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Can you imagine being Mary Magdalene and arriving at the tomb? The stone's rolled away and Christ is risen. Wouldn't Sundays just be an unbelievable memory to you of that day? It would just be unbelievable to know that that was the day Christ arose to you. Acts 20, verse 7 tells us the first Christians, or the first believers, came together on the first day of the week to break bread, to remember and honor Christ our Savior for his sacrificial death on the cross. Revelation 1:10 refers to today, Sunday, as the first day of the week, as the Lord's Day. Refers to it as the Lord's Day. So imagine what the impact on your relationship with God might be with a new focus, a new energy about what this day means to you. But not just to you, but what this day really means to God. The Lord's Day, a holy day. This is the Lord's Day. Imagine what it would mean to God and what it could change in you to begin each Lord's Day and to end each Lord's Day in worship to God here together. Just think about that. You begin the day, the Lord's Day together, you end the Lord's Day together. You know, it used to be a time in America when they had what was called the Blue Law. And we've talked about this in the upstairs Bible class. Most businesses weren't open on the Lord's Day. It was a holy day. It was a day of thanks to the Lord. We'd like to maybe get back to that mindset, that attitude of, this is the Lord's Day. So please listen to what I'm going to say next. This is not about trying to guilt you into attending Sunday night. Honestly, to the elders and staff, this is not about attendance numbers to us. Not at all. It's not up to us to judge each of our salvation. It's up to us to develop our relationship with God. And so for us, this is about giving you an opportunity, as the board says up there. You know, the elders aren't going to be sitting by God on the judgment day and saying, you know, we never saw that one on Sunday night. That's not what it's about at all. It's about us giving opportunity to again begin and end the day with God, to strengthen your relationship with God, to give you that opportunity, as the board says. So it's our responsibility to be servants to you, to provide you this opportunity. And we feel that we can bring this family to a greater recognition of this being the Lord's Day by doing this. It will bring you personally into a closer relationship with God by participating in this. Colossians 1, 9 through 12 says, Colossians 1, 9 through 12 tells us to live a life worthy of the Lord, to please him in every way, to grow in the knowledge of God, to joyfully give thanks to our Father, who qualifies us for an inheritance in heaven with him. What better way to do that than to spend the Lord's Day in his presence, to want to be with him? So if you would, change to the next slide for me. So here's what we would like to do in this opportunity. I'm going to give you some of the specifics. On Sunday nights, we want to have it be a time of family Bible study. We want to come together as a family with our children and spend time in looking at Scripture and studying Scripture together. We're going to have our kids read Scripture. We're going to read Scripture. Our kids are going to tell us what that Scripture means to them. We're going to talk about what that Scripture means to us. And we're just going to spend this time together, learning together. I don't think this is something we've ever quite done, is had the children in with us. But I think it's going to be a great example for us to spend this time with our children. We believe in spending this time together will help us to be one for Christ. Our kids will read Scripture from God and hear what it means, and we will read Scripture and know what it means. We want this to be a part of our lives, not just checking the checkbox, but it's something that you live, that you want to be in God's presence on the Lord's Day. James 1, 22 through 25 says, "Do not just listen to the word, but do what it says, and you will be blessed in what you do." We believe that's true, that if we can spend this time together, it'll be a time that you want to bring family, bring friends, and just study God's word together, end the day together in study. So we want to do this on the first, second, and third Sunday evenings of each month. And then on the fourth Sunday, we'd like to go back to doing small groups. We've done small groups in the past, and we've developed some great relationships in our small groups. And that's a time that you can go into each other's homes, spend time together, studying God's word, and you develop closer relationships. And then on those first, second, and third Sundays, just like we're doing tonight, go to a restaurant. We're going to try to pick a restaurant that we can all gather together tonight at Kincaid's. I was going to cover the first 10%, but good deal Chauncey covered that, you know, with Kincaid. So, but we really think this will be a time of growth for us. And again, a time of you changing your mindset that Sundays are important. It's the Lord's Day. We also want to request something else from you. Each Lord's Day, obviously, to us is as valuable and as important as the next. But we know we live in a busy world. Sometimes when we're meeting and talking about attendance and so forth, it's a different 75 of us that are gone doing something else on each week. If we ever had a Sunday where all 75 didn't miss, we would have over 500 people here. So what we'd like to do is if you could commit, just start out committing, if at all possible, to be here on that first Sunday night of each month, for sure. Schedule going to see friends and family, maybe the second and third Sundays. Obviously, we'd prefer that you grow and be here, but we understand. You know, Pam and I have her mother over in Burleson, and sometimes we want to go worship with her, and so we may be over there on a Sunday evening every once in a while. We understand that. But we're going to try to commit to the first Sunday nights for sure of the month as a starting point, as a kickoff point, is to be here. Again, because we just see the value in our fellowship, in our being together, and sharing this time together. Hebrews 6:10 tells us God is not unjust. He will not forget us. And 6:19 tells us Christ has gone behind the curtain on our behalf to prepare a place for us. Who brought you to Christ? Who is that person that influenced your life to be here this morning? We all have that person, whether it be a parent, a brother, a sister, a friend, a Bob Hodges, someone that influenced our lives. We all want to be in heaven together with that person when this is all said and done. So to us, this time of study together, the opportunity to be in God's presence on His day, the holy day, the Lord's day, is invaluable. Thank you.
All right, thank you. This is exciting to me, and it's hard because we are so busy, and our world demands a lot of us. So this idea of taking that first Sunday and making it holy, could we do that, I wonder? In this busy world. You know, the Jewish custom was first fruits. It was a first fruits offering. And what they did was they offered their first and their very best to God. That was the best of their harvest, the best of their money, the best of their time. And they offered this to God. And I wonder if that first Sunday of every month, 11 days out of 365, if we couldn't maybe treat that as a first fruits Sunday, giving the best of who we are, the best of our time, the best of our attention to God. It's not easy because we are demanded from, aren't we? So that's the question. That's a vision we have for the year. There's a lot of exciting things coming. You know, Sunday nights are going to be filled with intergenerational conversation. There's going to be some good things on that first Sunday night and the second and third. And our small groups, we've got several that are starting up. And just take your pick. Be able to find some good connection and relationship. And also, we will have service opportunities this year. In fact, this game night, January 24th, this is going to be a service opportunity for you. Now, granted, we're here, we're playing games, but could you come and serve our families, serve our kids, and just be here? Did you know that laughing and having a good time could be service? Jesus had a reason for choosing 12 disciples. Now, it's because there were 12 tribes, I'm sure there was symbolism there, but it's also because sometimes we need help to be a disciple. Sometimes, as Peter did, you fall. And you need your friends to encourage you and inspire you to continue. So, that's the vision for this year. What does it mean to be a disciple? Are we going to be active students, active learners? Are we going to give God everything we have? Granted, we know the Christian life doesn't only take place here in this church. But how sweet is it to celebrate the Christian life here in this church with your family? I encourage you, take up your cross. Be a disciple. The first half of the year, we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple. The second half, it's going to be what does it mean to make disciples? We're commanded to do that, aren't we? Matthew 28, 19, it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." To be a disciple, to make disciples. This is our mission. This is our goal. I love this church family because you inspire me to be better. You inspire me to want to know God. You inspire me to want to learn so that I can share what I have learned with you. You inspire my family. We were talking to Liam yesterday. Tell me, who are some of your trusted adults? He started listing out people from this church. You know who's number one? Travis. To be a disciple means to follow God with everything you are. How many of our kids are on that path now? And how could you inspire them to be a disciple of Jesus Christ for the rest of their life? We have that capability. I've seen it, and I am excited to see it this next year. God be with you. This is a good day. Encourage each other as you leave. Encourage each other not only to have a good day, encourage each other to walk with God this week and offer yourself as a cross bearer if needed.